I appreciate Colin's song this right before the battle belongs to the Lord. We're going to close up a series today about the devil's tactics. The devil comes at us, and it is a knockdown, drag out, fight to the finish for our souls. There's nothing funny about his goals. There is nothing funny about how he wants to snatch our souls away from God. And we've looked at a number of different ways that the devil has come at us. You know, it's a lot of times never in the way that we expect. And this whole series I mentioned a couple weeks ago has come, you know, when Preston did his class a few months ago about the heavenly host and spiritual beings and so forth, the scripture used there in Ephesians was just that we wrestle against not flesh and blood, but the spiritual host. And it's not a physical fight. But I appreciate Collins leading that song because it is a battle. And the battle has already been won. We still have to fight it, though. The battle's already been won by God. We have to determine which side we're going to be on. To continue on and to finish up this series, number seven, or another way, it's the seventh way we looked at, the devil comes at us a lot of times by stirring up discontent, by stirring up division. You know, there's the old military strategy of divide and conquer. And I'll tell you, the devil uses that, you know, very much to his advantage. But he stirs up discontent in us. You know, why can't we be more like the denominations? Why? Look at what they've got. Look at programs that they're doing. And they're getting so many people in. Why can't we have skits? Why can't we shove this a little to the side? We would have enough space to have a little band to entertain people. We know it's not that we're not here to be entertained, but by entertainment, wouldn't that get more people in? Is their argument. The devil uses that. Why can't we be more like the denominations? We are unique. We are God's people. We don't want to blend with the denominations around us. He uses the argument, I just don't get anything from worship. Not that we don't get something from worship, but nowhere in the Bible do I see that when the people of God, God's people come together to worship the Lord, to worship God, nowhere do I see that we're supposed to be the end result recipient of that. We're not supposed to get anything from. Do we get something from it? Absolutely. We get a lot from worshiping God, but we come together to worship the Lord. If we don't get anything out of it, we're not supposed to. It's not designed for us to get something out of it, but we do get an awful lot from it. Then there's those I thinks, I want. It's about me. I want to do it this way. We see how that turns out with God's people. The idea of division. That idea, divide and conquer. Get sides. Those of us that have ever lived through and have gone through a church split know what I'm talking about. It is one of the ugliest, things you could ever see as a Christian. In Numbers, the 11th chapter, starting in verse 4, it says, "Now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, 'Who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt.'" Now, I just want to pause for just a moment here. This is talking about the Israelites, the Hebrews, that Moses have led out of Egypt. They had been in bondage for generations, over 400 years. They had been enslaved. And now God, through Moses, has led them out of bondage. And they're griping. They're griping about being out of bondage. What we're missing as slaves. They yielded to intense craving. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, "Who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions and the garlic. But now our whole being is dried up. There is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes." God has created this miracle to feed them from Him. That was unique only for them. And they're griping that all we have is manna. All we have is this stuff that God has provided. And the devil was working through them. Discontent. Be unsatisfied. In 1 Samuel, in chapter 8, in verse 4, it says, "Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, 'Look, you are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations.'" Samuel was old. His sons didn't really follow in the ways of the Lord. And the people are, "Make us a king so we can be like the nations. We want to be like the nations all around us." They're looking, instead of being a unique God's people, we want to be like everybody else around us. We want to blend in. We want to be like them. It's a story as old as time, and it's still going on today. But the thing, and I love this, but the thing displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to judge us." So Samuel prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said to Samuel, "Heed the voice of the people and all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them." You're not rejecting Samuel. You've rejected the Lord. And he wanted them to know that. In Proverbs, we've looked at this passage a number of times in lessons. And if you look at, it says, "These six things the Lord hates." That's strong language. And it goes on to say, yes, seven are an abomination. That's strong language. And it goes through the things that the Lord absolutely despises. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. This would be a great lesson just by itself. A heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. That is right along with a list of hands that shed innocent blood, liars, sinners, somebody that sows discord among the brethren. The Lord hates it. It's an abomination. 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, Paul says, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you." One of the things that Paul was writing this letter to the Corinthians about, he was hearing that there was division amongst the group there in Corinth. And he was addressing that and other issues, correcting them. He said, it's been brought to my attention, guys. It's no small thing. It's bothering people enough that I'm getting word of it. And I'm not even there. He's going to address that. Contentions, division. Nothing good comes out of that. And that's one of the ways the devil uses to attack us, is divisions like this. Another tactic he uses, not only the bad behavior amongst, from how the outside sees it, but bad behavior by Christians within. I'll tell you, you expect that bad behavior from people in the world. People at work, maybe even neighbors. You expect them to act bad. But each other? And that can be disappointing. It can cause you to stumble. And you see sometimes the hypocrisy of Christians. You see sometimes Christians seeing other Christians at their worst. You see the sin in lives. You see the cliques that are sometimes formed. You see the splits that come. And this is the way the devil uses to try to discourage us, is pointing out the faults in each other and us using that against each other. In 2 Samuel, and we used this verse 2 weeks ago when we were talking about the influence that we can have on the world, but also we can have influence on each other. When David had committed that horrible sin of yielding to lust and committing sin with Bathsheba, and then committing sin to try to cover up that sin by having her husband killed, He is brought to task for that, and it's pointed out very clear. And it says, "However, because by this deed you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme." It's not just, well, what I do is my business. Why are you getting up in my face? Why are you confronting me about my actions? Because you've given cause for the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. You've given them the opportunity to fling mud and dirt at the Lord's church. When we mess up, when we sin, we give occasion for the enemies, people of the world. Oh, Mr. Christian, or even each other. Oh, you get up and you say a prayer, or you get up and you teach a class, or you get up and serve communion, but then you act this way. Or you get up and you lead singing, and then you behave this way toward me. Things like that. Philippians 1, verse 27, and this was our scripture reading today that Kurt did. It says, Paul told the Philippians, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. You know, we have, I think we had 80 people here today. We have 80 different personalities, 80 different interests, 80 different favorite TV shows, 80 different favorite foods. It's not saying that we've got to like the same TV show. Be of the same in one spirit. Be of the same mind in striving together for the faith of the gospel. That's unity. And behave like that. Have conduct worthy of the gospel of Christ. Because that's one of the ways the devil uses to discourage each other, because brother or sister so-and-so acted such and such way. Matthew 5:16, Jesus reminds us, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. It's sometimes easy to underestimate just the influence that we can have. The conduct that we have, whether it be at work with each other, we never know who's watching. That's why it's so important to realize there are people watching you. Not just young parents with little kids in the house looking at mom and dad to be like them, showing them what's important. It's important for us. It's important for even us older ones that there are people watching us. And we're giving messages loud and clear how important attendance is to us, how important a study life is to us, how important treating each other, how important sharing the gospel is to each other. And people are watching that. And we have an influence on that. And Jesus said, let your light so shine that before men that they may see your good works. And we glorify God through those works. Another area that the devil uses in our lives is hardship. Life. It's called life. I used to think, well, you know, why did this come along? It's called life. I used to, if I just get past this, then all will be smooth sailing. Used to think, once this gets behind me. I'm to the point now, I realize, get through this, there's going to be something else come down the way. Slap us in the face. Hardship and inconvenience. The devil loves that in our lives. Who's going to turn tail and run first when it gets tough? Well, this is not what I thought it was going to be. I'm done. I think in sports, when at the beginning of a season, lots of people showed up. They want to be part of the team. Well, I didn't know it was going to be this hot. Didn't know that the coach was going to be yelling. He was so nice before the season started. Now he's making us do all this stuff. It's hot. Why can't I go against somebody my size? We got to do this again. It's inconvenient. There's hardship. And people started going by the wayside. We're hit with health. I tell you, when you don't feel good, you're looking out of different eyes. As we get older, things start breaking down. And they will, you young people, they will start breaking down. You start looking out of different eyes. If you don't feel good, it's kind of tough to deal with things. Family issues, financial. I've said it before. I've never had money problems. I've had calendar problems. The calendar's too short to, you know, or too long to make the money last until the next payday. Never had money problems. Just the calendar's too long. That's it. Work interference. Oh, I've got to do this. I've got to do that. The time. I'm just so busy. I've got so many things going on. Philippians 3, starting verse 7. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him. Not only gain Him, but be found in Him. How scary it would be to have found Christ and then let Him slip through our fingers. Amen. At the end. To have found Him and not keep Him and not be found in Him when He returns. Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God, Jesus taught. And His righteousness. Seek after God and His righteousness. And all these things, all these worldly things will fall into place. Luke 9, Jesus reminds us. And this is not an empty boast. It's not, you know, it's one thing. We were talking about sports. It's one thing. Oh, coach tells you to do all this stuff, but he's standing over there sipping on some water. Jesus knows what it means when He said, then He said to them all, if anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me. Well, you don't know what I'm dealing with, Jesus. Jesus knows. Jesus has been through it. And last but not least, the devil uses apathy. Uses apathy. I like that quote. I'm not apathetic, I just don't care. I don't know who to attribute that to. But that's perfect. I'm not apathetic. Just don't care. The devil loves us. The devil loves us not to care about what we're doing, to not be passionate, to just go through the motions. Just show up. Be a pew warmer. Show up when you can. No biggie. The devil loves this tactic. Revelation 2 verse 4, this is in the letters to the churches of Asia, to the church at Ephesus. It says, the Apostle John, nevertheless, I have this against you. Jesus is telling the church of Ephesus through John, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. That you've left your first love. That love that should have been the most endearing and enduring, you've left it. It says in Revelation 3, verse 1, and to the church, and to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things, says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know your works. That you have a name that you are alive, but you are dead. you know, that we have a lot of zombie TV shows on now. They're walking around, but are just dead. You have a name that you're alive, but you're dead. The devil loves that idea. Go through the motions. Appear alive. You're walking around doing things, but you're dead. And the last verse I'd like to use before we close up this lesson today is Revelation 3, just a little bit later in that chapter, in the church to the Laodiceans. Verse 15 says, I know your works. And in all of those letters to the churches of Asia, Jesus says, I know your works. He knows our works. If he was writing a letter to the church at South Valley, I know your works. If he's writing a letter to us individually, I know your works. That you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. I kind of thought it a little bit more prudent to use a picture of John writing the letter. But what a visual that Jesus gives us. I wish you were cold or hot, but because you're neither one, you're just lukewarm, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. Those are some of the tactics that the devil uses. Apathy. Bad behavior by Christians to discourage us, to cause division. Things like that. We're in a spiritual fight for our lives. Don't want to sugarcoat it. We are in a fight, and if the devil wins, he gets our soul. It is on the line. We need to fight every day. We need to fight that spiritual battle. If you need to respond to the invitation for prayers, for help from each other, we don't have to fight it alone. Ultimately we do, but we can gain strength from each other. If you need prayers, if you haven't started that fight yet, if you're not a Christian, haven't been baptized, you need to get in the fight. You need to get in the fight first. And get your soul saved. If you need to repent of sin, don't let that pride of life prevent you from repenting of sin. Whatever your need, if you're looking around for a church home, if you've been looking at some congregations and would like to identify with us here at South Valley, please do. We can use you. We will use you. We would love to have you, to worship with you and work with you in the kingdom. Whatever your need, if you will come forward while Colin leads us in the invitation song. Let us stand and sing.